How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan, who might die in this show because he ate a piece of cheesecake that – is it the caffeine? The caffeine is what might kill you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to die, but I'm a little bit extra amped up still. I ate it yesterday. I'm very sensitive to caffeine, and that was stupid. I am an idiot, and I should not have eaten it. And yeah, I regret every life decision that led me to this point. And I'm really, but if I do die, there's nobody that I'd rather die on a podcast with other than LeVar Ball. I just feel like that would be really exciting. But like, you are a close second.
LeVar Ball would find a way to revive you, I think.
I think he'd speak my life back into existence.
He would speak Harrison Fagan back into existence.
Be like, no, you have the strongest heart. And I'd be like, oh my God, I do. You're right, LeVar Ball. I think I could play in the NBA now too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that
was an awesome start. No, that was a nice cold open, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So today's show, we're going to respond in our own way to the Carmelo Anthony to Oklahoma City news. We are going to talk a little bit about what we might expect to hear at Lakers Media Day tomorrow. We're recording this on a Sunday night. And then finally, we have a question at the very end of the podcast that we will address, because we promised you if you leave a question in the reviews on iTunes with a 5-star review, we will answer it on the air for you. So Harrison,
and feel free to leave your at in there so that we can shout you out.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go ahead and get started. As always, find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break.
You almost mentioned a place where it isn't hosted anymore.
That was close. It was close.
Yeah, that was a close one.
Yeah, my mouth started to form it, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
You can also find us on Alexa if you tell your Alexa to listen to Locked On Lakers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can tell your Alexa maybe like, Alexa, order Harrison's O2s, and see if that worked that time. But
you should make that joke like 7 more times.
I mean, I just in case somebody missed it last time.
All right. The big
news.
I
know there's one person that's freaking out, like thinking that their Alexa maybe listened to this while it was on speaker. And so I'm sorry I'm laughing at you right now.
The big news to come out of the NBA today, aside from Harrison continuing to try to get bad shoes for free. Bad expensive shoes for free.
I want the Bugatti version now. Like,
yeah, that's true. But the Carmelo Anthony is no longer a New York Knick. He is a member of. Do you say like? I guess you have to say a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You can't call him a Thunder.
No, he's a Thunder. He's a Thunder buddy for life, or at least 2 more years now.
Yep. You can't get me Thunder because you're just God's thoughts. Anywho.
Great start tonight. So Carmelo Anthony traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who he only had recently added to his list. And what's funny is when I found out about this, I was getting in the car to take my mom to go run some errands because she just had double knee surgery, or she had it a while ago, but she still needs some help sometimes. And so I told her, I'm like, you know, I think that this is probably just the Knicks trying to drum up leverage and get Houston to make a better offer. And then like 5 minutes later, I got a Woj notification that he was a Thunder. So oops, that was I'm sorry, Mom, I lied to you. But so he's on the Thunder now. He was traded in one of the saddest hauls of all time for Enes Kanter and his terrible contract. Doug McDermott, and 2018 second round pick from the Chicago Bulls. So the Knicks got significantly less for Melo than they paid to acquire him, I think it's fair to say.
I kind of want to know what the Lakers, if they ever made an offer, what their offer would have looked like. Because it's hard to think that they couldn't have topped what Oklahoma City offered.
That's interesting. I actually hadn't thought a whole lot about that, and I probably should have thought a little bit more about it. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you think they would have offered?
I mean, based on what they – so the equivalent of that trade would have been like Deng.
Like a bag of trash and the rest of this coffee cheesecake.
Yeah, it would have been because Deng is a terrible contract. Although I think he's a year longer on the books than Luol – or than Enes Kanter is. So it would have been Luol, Deng, maybe Jordan Clarkson. Because who do you think's better, Doug McDermott or Jordan Clarkson?
It's a good question that I'm probably not that qualified to answer, but I don't know. Having watched Jordan Clarkson a lot, I'd probably say Doug McDermott.
Yeah, I feel like Doug McDermott is a whole bunch of, well, if he ever figures this out, just like Jordan Clarkson is. So I feel like that's a decent equivalent for what the Knicks got from the Thunder and what the Lakers could have offered. But it's kind of hard
Kanter
to believe.
Is better than Deng, to be fair.
That's true. That's objectively
like a lot better.
True.
Like, yeah. Like a million times better.
Yeah, so the
mainly
Lakers
because
probably,
he's still alive.
The Lakers probably would have had to add a pick or two to the trade to get to where the Knicks currently got with that.
I doubt they made an offer. I don't think they want Melo. I think that time has passed. There was all that stuff made of that they recruited him back. You know, when Kobe was still on the team and stuff, but him and Kobe were friends, they were a different team then. I just think under Luke Walton and with Lonzo Ball and the pass-happy style that they want to play, I just don't really see how bringing Melo in there where he's going to still feel like he's the face of the franchise if he comes in to a young Lakers team where there's nobody that established. I don't really see how that's a positive. So I can't imagine that the Lakers, if they did offer anything, offered very much, although I guess the Thunder didn't offer very much either. Which is kind of the point, but I don't know. I mean, do you like this deal? I think what I've been saying is if the Thunder get Olympics Captain America hoodie Melo or whatever that wants to play that wants to play the four and is willing to shoot threes and spot up and do things like that and do like helpful basketball team basketball things, then I think this is a really good trade and I like it. But if he comes in and he's like sad ISO jab step Knicks Melo, then I think Russell Westbrook might actually murder him halfway in through the first month of the season.
I can't imagine. There would be Carmelo Anthony would be the least self-aware player in the history of the National Basketball Association if he comes in and is selfish when he gets to Oklahoma City. Like, he to understand at this point, in order to extend his career and have a meaningful kind of twilight of his career, that he needs to change his approach to the game. And look, if there's...
Yeah, the fact that Westbrook and George recruited him makes me think maybe he's in for that. But, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes these guys don't think about how they're actually going to fit together before they decide to join up. They're just like, you're good, you're good, you're good. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. No, I would.
That's my concern about the Harden Chris Paul thing as well.
The Harden, which
that's a very different situation, but similar reasons of concern.
Yeah, that's what I talked about when I went on the Blazers Edge podcast last week. Was that all these super teams are being formed, and it's just you get a name, you get a name, you get a name, you get a name, and meanwhile over there in Golden State their super team
they still have
actually
like two of
sense.
The best three players in the NBA
and they fit perfectly.
Yeah,
like every...
Well, Kevin Durant is like he is fit proof. Kevin Durant could fit on literally any basketball team ever created.
Russell Westbrook would disagree.
Oh, that was well done. That was good. That got me more than it should have.
All right, so
he's just a cupcake.
Snowflake, yeah. Anywho.
Oh, man.
He's going to take up photography.
Okay, any non-Russell Westbrook. Even they were good. They were good together. We can't gloss over that. But, yeah, well done.
So We got kind of sidetracked as per usual. That's kind of our thing. But we were going to talk about what this means for the Lakers' pursuit of Paul George and, to a certain extent, Russell Westbrook as well, right? Although Russell Westbrook has yet to sign his extension, and this could all just be a one-year experiment. That's kind of best-case scenario for the Lakers. But this does kind of call into question their chances of landing George, because he's sitting there and he, you know, his main complaint out there in Indiana was that he didn't have any help, or he wasn't given help consistently. Or, to take that a step further, that the help that he once had, all of a sudden he got hurt and then the help was all gone, right? So that was his complaint out there in Indiana. And in the time that he's gotten to Oklahoma City, he's already teamed up with Russell Westbrook. And the guy that he helped recruit, Carmelo Anthony, is now a teammate as well. He might be looking around and saying, you know what, I might want to see how this organization can actually build a team around this core that we have right now.
Yeah, and I think that's 100% true. And I think he probably believes in them way more than he believes in the Pacers organization, just because of how much they've gotten done this offseason, and somewhat justifiably, because Larry Bird's response to building a team around Paul George was like to sign Monte Ellis and stuff. So, you know, that didn't really work out. And so he probably has way more faith in them. I think what's going to determine that is how well this goes. And it's kind of like I said, I alluded to before, if Melo comes in and he is just ISO jab stepping from mid range and doing like Carmelo Anthony Knicks things, then I think that's going to get old real quick. And he may be the last one left on that OKC team next summer. And that might actually increase the chances that Paul George leaves. But there's also a chance that this goes really well and that they're like one of the better teams in the West, in which case Paul George would probably, like you said, he might just be like, you know, why mess with a good thing? We got a chance, you know, we went punch for punch with the Warriors, and, you know, I think the Warriors will probably beat them, but maybe he thinks like, you know, we'll come back, we'll improve, we'll get better, and we'll beat them next year. Athletes are confident guys. And so I'm kind of playing both sides right now. I guess my guess would be that it increases the chance that he stays, because I do think that there's a better than not chance that this goes well enough that he believes in the organization, he believes in his teammates, and he decides to stay there.
I actually think it decreases the likelihood.
Okay, good. We disagree. I'm glad we finally disagree on something.
So I think, look, for everything that I said about him now trusting an organization for the first time in a little while, for all that I said there, the form, like if I was an NBA player and the way I wanted to gain trust in a front office, that wouldn't be by acquiring Carmelo Anthony. I don't think he can. We'll see if he's able to become, you know, spot up shooter, Olympic hoodie mellow, as you put it a second ago. We'll see. But I don't think he is a part of winning basketball in 2017. And
if he plays the four, I think he very much is. I think he is.
The problem with that, though, is that Paul George is also best suited to play the four. Like, the stats...
Well, no, Paul George can play the four very well, but he can still play the three and be effective as an NBA player. Melo is just not that effective at the three anymore.
The stats are mind-boggling.
Give me your analytics. I'm putting you on the spot. I'm going to call you out right here.
I'm not
throw
going
them on the
to.
Table.
I don't want to be marked as them, trademarked by Snotty Drippin. I don't.
Yeah,
wanna...
this is just excuses so that you can make up numbers.
Paul George is like averaging 155 points per 36 minutes. Yeah, no, I just Googled it. Paul George is averaging 156 points per 36 minutes at the four. That's insane.
Oh. Wow. Okay, never mind. I take everything back and you're correct.
On 79% three-point shooting. It's wild. It's crazy how much he gets, how much better he gets at the four.
That, yeah. I'm just blown away right now.
But really, while he was at Indiana, that was always a complaint, was that he was significantly better at the power forward than he was at the small forward. Not that he was bad at the small forward. That's the difference that you're making here with Carmelo Anthony, is that he's bad at the small forward when he plays there. And Paul George is still good at the small forward. He's just elite as a power forward. And that's, you know, if you're wondering how these things are going to fit, it's not like Kevin Durant, who can somehow just slide down to the five, right? He can play positions 3 through 5. Melo or Paul George can't play the five, so one of those guys is going to have to play the three. And, you know, maybe it works out. Maybe they play the positionless basketball thing, but in order to play positionless basketball, you need ball movement as well. And Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook aren't necessarily known as ball movers at any point in either of their careers. Paul George is significantly better than both of those guys playing off the ball. He's really good at spot-up shooting, and he's really good at attacking closeouts as they have to close out to his really above average.
The analytics do actually back you up. So yeah. I bothered to look up the analytics, you were correct.
156 points per 36 minutes?
Actually not far off. So as far as net points, when by position, the Pacers were up 101 net points when George played the four, and 69 when he plays the three. Mm-hmm. So they were good with both, but they were better at the four, which is kind of what I said. He's pretty good at both.
There you go.
Yeah, but better. You were right about him being significantly better at the four, so I apologize.
I just have all this knowledge stored up in this brain.
Yeah, that's what I call it. Meanwhile, Melo with the Knicks in a very sad thing. The Knicks were net points. They were net minus 64 with him at the four, and net minus 169 with him at the three.
There you go.
Yeah, last season. So, shouts to 82 games.
Yeah. So I think the way this all works out, we'll see. My stance will change if and when Russell Westbrook signs if he signs his extension, then I'll start to worry a little bit, because that's
if him. Westbrook signs his extension, then they have something cooking. Yeah, I think
absolutely. Yeah. But if he doesn't, and he still hasn't to this point, you would have thought he would have signed his extension as soon as they acquired Paul George, but he hasn't, and he still hasn't as we're recording this podcast right now. With our luck, he'll probably sign it in the morning.
And this whole thing is useless.
but as we're sitting here right now, he has not signed that extension. So I think this is more of a one-year experiment to see if these guys can actually mesh pretty well. And I think the talent is there to be a top four seed in the Western Conference, is where I would probably put them right now. But I still don't think I still think Golden State runs through them like a warm knife through butter. I'd still probably put San Antonio ahead of them. I still might even put Houston ahead of them, but that one's close. I think that's kind of where, and then I would say OKC fits in there at the four spot.
But I do actually have one more thought on this. I think the one thing that the biggest change to me is that it changes kind of the equilibrium of how this could go. Where I think if they hadn't acquired Melo, then they were probably going to be pretty good, and there just wasn't a whole lot of chance for a spectacular flame out. But bringing in Carmelo Anthony, there's a chance it makes them better and it knocks them up an echelon, but there's also that chance now that wasn't really there before, that this flames out spectacularly amid egos and not sharing the ball and all of that stuff, and that would be fantastic for the Lakers.
What we need is for Sports Illustrated to recreate the "this is going to be fun" cover, right?
Yeah, or just double down. This is going to be really fun.
Super duper fun.
This is going to be super califragilisticexpialidocious.
Lee fun.
Yeah, and just like also to extra double down, instead of guys in jerseys on the cover, it's kind of like that Pacers photo shoot before that team fell apart, where they're all wearing like different fashion stuff, and it's just Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George doing like a runway model shoot on the "this is going to be super duper extra fun" cover of Sports Illustrated. Get on it, Lee Jenkins.
I believe their media day is tomorrow too, right?
You know, that's a very good question that if you would have prepped me for, I would have had the answer for you.
I hope that they do media day in hoodies, all three of them.
I mean, at the very least, Melo should.
Absolutely.
He should be like, no, Hoodie Melo is here. Hoodie Melo is here to save the day. He needs to keep this going. He needs to play in a hoodie this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I would tend to agree. Yeah. He was great in the offseason every time I saw him wearing a hoodie. I think he even played defense wearing a hoodie once. That was wild.
Yeah, I mean, the hoodie, like, conquer, it cures all flaws in a player's game. Actually, I don't understand why more NBA players don't just wear a hoodie all summer while playing basketball in the heat.
I'm wearing a hoodie right now.
As an expert trainer, that would be my advice. All players, hoodies, all time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can't believe you haven't been hired off of that stance alone.
I think after this podcast I will be, because I didn't put that out there before.
Congratulations.
Thank
in
you.
In advance.
Thank you.
All right, let's take that question. So if you had to, before the Melo trade, what percentage would you have said the Lakers had at Paul George?
Probably 50.
That's high for you. All right, now what's it stand now?
Because I do think the George stuff just seems much more real than anything else, because there's been so much noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe Carmelo can, in theory, be a free agent at the end of this year.
No, he cannot. He has a player option for the summer. For next summer.
Gotcha. All right.
So, like, not this coming summer, but the summer after that. That I did make sure to prepare and look up.
Good job. I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Where would you put it now, the percentage that Paul George comes to the Lakers after the hoodie Melo trade?
I'm going to say 40.
Yeah.
Because while I think that there's, like, a better chance that this blows up now than maybe there was before, I also think that this could also go really well. And talking about it more, I've kind of talked myself into it on this podcast. So I think probably like a 40 is about as high as I'll go. I'm not going to drop it much more than that based off of just Melo showing up. But, I mean, the other thing that Carmelo does is he's not Enes Kanter. And so he's not going to just get mercilessly targeted in pick and rolls any single time that he's on the floor and lead his coach to mouth on national television, "I can't play him."
That needs to happen.
That happened to Kanter last year during the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I need that. I need this to happen again.
That would be hilarious if I just, like, spoke that into existence.
Yeah,
but
we need to bring LeVar on here so he can speak that further into existence.
Yes.
After saving your life.
Absolutely.
There you go. All right.
Where would you put it?
So I consider you a hater. I had it at 100% before, and now at 150% now. So.
No, but seriously, come on.
I would have said, so before the trade, I would have said about 55 to 60%. I thought it was more likely
just
to use.
Higher than me.
No, because I thought I. Well, you said it was basically a coin flip, right? And I think that it was more likely
it was two-faced coin flip.
I think it was more likely than not that Paul George was going to be a Laker at, you know, this time next year. And now again, I just don't see this working in terms of actual basketball success, and I definitely don't see it working to the extent that would convince Paul George to stick around. So I'd probably say it's higher now, and I'd say about 65 to 70% that he comes to the Lakers next year.
Okay, you heard the weather report. There's a next summer in Southern California, it's going to be sunny with a 60 to 70% chance of Paul George.
There you go. All right, let's get to that question there. You have it lined up for us.
Okay, so yes, we wanted to reward you guys, those of you that that threw iTunes review questions in here. So we got this one from Salazee, I think is how I'm going to say that. It's Salazee as part of the mailbag. And so he thanked us for not treating this podcast like it's CNN. You're welcome. And then he asks, if the Lakers had their pick this year, would they be looking to tank, or would they still try to win as many games as possible, regardless if playoffs were attainable, to impress free agents? And I'm going to go ahead and answer first, because you talked for a while.
Go ahead.
And I think it's probably still the latter, because I think they want to keep the positive PR going around Lonzo. They want to show that Brandon Ingram has grown, and they really want to impress free agents. I don't think that even if they had their pick, I don't see another situation where I was explaining tanking to somebody today, and I described the Tyler Ennis t-shirt game against San Antonio, where Luke basically, it was like the most blatant tank I've ever seen, where they've sat like every single player in an effort to lose that game, and the benchwarmers still beat the Spurs. And I don't think that you'd see any attempts like that to make sure that they lost this year, just because they want to keep that good those good vibes going around Lonzo and around Ingram and around Randall and get those free agents believing that the Lakers are great again.
I would agree, but for different reasons. So I think they would. The positive press and all that, I think that was unavoidable at this point. You have Magic Johnson as basically the head of PR for the Lakers.
Yeah, no, of course it's unavoidable, but I think they're going to look to keep – I think it does matter to them very much as far as, like, continuing to win down the stretch, more so than it would have last year.
It's almost a semantics debate, but I never felt like the Lakers were trying to lose last year. Like, they had
Did you watch that game?
Well, no,
described?
But the Tyler Ennis game, I mean, so when I watched the Phoenix Suns and the stuff that they pulled, after Devin Booker scored 70 points, they benched him the next night, right?
I mean, you got to get his ego in line. Like any teenager, like that was straight out of the Lakers' former coach's playbook. He played really well. You know what? He's probably going to get an out of control ego. Time to sit him down. I almost got fined there. That was very close.
I was praying, like, please. I would say I never felt like they were outright trying to tank in unfathomable ways, right? I never felt like when I was watching them play, you know, Tarik Black at one point was getting some hatred spewed his way because they won a couple games, and he said, "Look, guys, we're still professional athletes. We're still playing for our jobs."
Of course, the players were still playing to win. They were playing for their next NBA contract. But I just mean, like, the organization did not really try to make any extra effort to put them in that position to win.
Yeah.
And I think this year there would have been more pressure from up top to, no, we need to keep winning. Keep playing all your best lineups. We aren't experimenting right now. We're riding our best players no matter what.
Again, I'm saying this is semantics because they should have been trying all their best, or they should have been trying all kinds of lineups when the team was bad.
Well, last year there was more freedom to experiment. Like, David Nwaba started to get some minutes, and he was good. But, like, I don't think that they would have made a call-up like that this year. They would have just continued to try and ride their veterans.
Yeah, and you're kind of seeing it with the Bogut signing. I mean, this isn't quite apples to apples because they don't have their pick, but the Bogut signing speaks to an organization that is trying to do whatever they can to win a few extra games this year. So we'll see. I would say that to answer the question, I think they play however they play. I'm not necessarily answering the question, but I think they play however they play, and they see where the pick winds up anyway. I don't think they ever really went out of their way to lose basketball games on purpose.
I think that they would try even harder to win this year.
Yeah, I guess most will agree with you. And to a certain extent, I agree with you. I just semantically, it's hard for me to parse.
You're just a contrarian. It's fine. You just did, like, you can never agree with me even when I'm right, and that's what makes you great.
No, I always disagree with you. All right, that does it though for this show. We are going to have a fun show for you guys lined up on the other side of the Media Day festivities. We have a great guest lined up for you, along with something of an announcement, kind of, sort of an announcement, I think.
Yeah, I guess kind of.
Kind of?
So, yeah.
We'll exciting show lined up for you guys tomorrow.
We're back to daily episodes. We are back. We are going to be in your ears all 5 days of the week. We are coming straight for your ear holes.
That is not the announcement, just so we're clear.
Oh. Okay, I thought that was the announcement. Well, anyway, we're here for you. We're back 5 days a week. We're excited to try and help you get through your car ride, or while you're doing Excel spreadsheets at work, or whatever it may be. We're excited to be back. I'm excited that Anthony is contractually obligated to talk to me 5 days a week. And all that's the good stuff.
Yeah, you guys, you know, sacrifice comes in many forms. Me having to talk to Harrison every day. Not all heroes wear capes, people. So.
Yeah, and some have terrible Twitter accounts.
My Twitter has been, my mentions have been lit on fire the last couple weekends. Anywho. All right, have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.